From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The U.S. intelligence community in Afghanistan has been sharply criticized by one of its own, Major General Michael Flynn, the Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence for the U.S. and NATO in Afghanistan, says American spy agencies there are ignorant of the Afghan people, hazy about how they're influenced, and have been of little use to the U.S. mission there for the past 8 years. Flynn says counterinsurgencies require a different focus, and the U.S. intelligence community has failed to adapt to it. Meanwhile, family and colleagues of the Jordanian suicide bomber who carried out the deadly attack against the CIA in Afghanistan last week said they thought he was on his way to continue his medical studies when they heard the news. Dale Gavlak reports from Zarqa, Jordan.
A close relative of Humam Abu Malal al-Balali described the doctor as a devout Muslim, brilliant, having the best of qualities, someone who cared for the poor, but was a bit aloof. He said his family was shocked to learn that al-Balali was the bomber in Afghanistan that killed 7 American agents and a Jordanian intelligence officer who was a distant member of Jordan's royal family. The relative, who refused to be identified because Jordanian authorities instructed the family not to speak to the press, said al-Balali had worked in a UN-run Palestinian refugee clinic in Zarqa, the hometown of slain al-Qaeda in Iraq leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Al-Balali turned on his Jordanian intelligence handlers, who had recruited the doctor after he tried to go to Gaza on a medical team following Israel's military invasion a year ago. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Zarqa.
President Obama is meeting this hour with leaders of the nation's intelligence agencies to review the lapses that allowed a would-be terrorist bomber aboard a U.S.-bound flight from Amsterdam Christmas Day. The president is expected to present new airline security measures to the nation in an address about an hour from now. Cold weather has a tight grip on the eastern portion of the U.S., including areas that produce major winter crops. WDET's Amy Miller has details.
Blasts of cold air moving counterclockwise from Canada's east coast, combined with Arctic air being funneled from the west coast, are winding past the Midwest and into the Ohio River Valley, then southward. The fronts are keeping Michigan's temperatures below freezing with snow flurries, while creating the longest cold snap in 5 years from West Virginia south to Florida. Temperatures are averaging 15 to 20 degrees below normal for much of the south. Officials across the south are warning homeowners to take precautions against frozen pipes. Hard freeze warnings have strawberry and tomato farmers worried that prolonged cold weather could destroy crops. Forecasters say it will be the weekend before it starts to warm up. For NPR News, I'm Amy Miller in Detroit.
On Wall Street an hour before the close, the Dow is down 36, the Nasdaq is off 4. This is NPR News. The World Food Program has suspended deliveries of food aid to southern Somalia. The UN agency says attacks on humanitarian workers are making it virtually impossible to reach people in need. The State Department blames the Somali militia group Al-Shabaab for the violence, saying some 900,000 people don't have access to critical assistance. The influential feminist scholar Mary Daly has died after a long illness. She was 81. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports.
Mary Daly was a radical feminist theologian who challenged sexism in the Catholic Church and championed a female-centric worldview. For over 3 decades, she taught at Boston College, a Jesuit school where she sometimes clashed with administrators, and male students she barred from her classes. In 1999, Daly told NPR, when men are in class, women behave differently.
When they're in classes with young men, they're shut up all the time. They're laughed at if they have unusual ideas. They have to be sexy, and they can't really think.
Daly's policy led to a lawsuit settled out of court and her retirement. The professor's fiery brand of feminism has long been considered unfashionable, but she remains a provocative element in American feminist discourse. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
The IRS is imposing new rules on tax preparers. Tens of millions of people rely on them to file tax returns every year, but until now, no federal standards have been set for independent tax preparers or companies like H&R Block. Now, the IRS will require them to pass a competency exam and do 15 hours a year of coursework, but the plan won't be in effect by the time 2009 taxes are due in April. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.